Have you ever known the frustration of losing something? You know, when you rack your brain trying to think, now where did I put that? And you search everywhere for it until either you find it or you just give up in defeat. You know, I find that the older I get, the more that this happens to me. In fact, just this week I was getting ready one morning and I set my socks down only to immediately forget where I'd put them. And I walked back and forth from room to room trying to find them, growing more and more frustrated as the search went on. Of course, Carrie tried to be helpful and she said, well, where'd you put them? Well, if I knew that, I wouldn't be searching for them, would I? Now, 25 years of marriage has taught me, let that little thought sit in your head. Don't let it come out your lips. So I just answered her with a simple, I don't know. But you know, even when it's an insignificant item such as socks, there is a sense of relief when you find it. Relief that you actually found it, relief that you don't have to go replace it or go without it, but relief also that your brain actually works sometimes and you're not as crazy as you might think. Now don't start posting in the chat window how this doesn't make me crazy just because I can find socks. Let me live in my fantasy world. You know, over the past few weeks, we've been looking at questions in the Gospels around Jesus and his life and his ministry to see how these questions, the questions to, by, and around Jesus can help shape our faith. And today we find Jesus asking a rhetorical question that he himself goes on to answer and explain all about losing something, the value of what was lost, the importance of the search, and the joy when you find it. The story is found in Luke chapter 15. There's another variation of it in Matthew chapter 18, which most scholars believe are two separate incidents, which much, I'm about to tell you, makes me feel much better that even Jesus repeated his story sometime, which as a pastor that might repeat a story here and there, makes me feel better. But in Luke 15, we find Jesus being criticized by the religious leaders because of the company he chose to keep. He was hanging around with tax collectors and sinners. Not my words, that's what Luke says. And these were the people that the religious leaders just didn't have much time for. And so they didn't make, and so they criticized Jesus for being around them. And so as they see Jesus, they make this statement. They say, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And this presents Jesus a teachable moment to help them better understand who he is and why he has come and helps us understand the true heart of God. So let's look at Luke chapter 15. We're going to read verses 3 through 7. It says this. It says, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loves one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. In Matthew's gospel, even though it's likely told at a different time, it's a very similar story. And he begins the parable then with the question, what do you think? Wouldn't you do this? Now, as I said, this is a rhetorical question because everyone that he's speaking to really knows the answer. Wouldn't you do this? And everybody would respond, well, sure, yeah, we would do that. Most of us probably know very little about shepherding. I know nothing at all. But as I read, I understood that a shepherd with only 100 sheep wasn't a wealthy shepherd, and losing one sheep for this person would be a very, very big deal. To be fair, shepherding was a very difficult job. You had to lead sheep who were very likely to stray on their own. You had to lead them to new pastures to find places to eat, places to drink, and you had to fight off the wild animals. So to lose only one might be seen as success. I mean, after all, we think about it, 1 out of 100, that's a 99%, right? That's still an A+. But fortunately, what Jesus is trying to communicate here, and fortunately for us, that this is not how things work in God's economy. You see, Jesus is trying to show them what God values and how God operates. Remember, this question is wrapped in a parable, so it's a story with a spiritual truth. And this parable has a few important ideas that we need to understand. And it begins with understanding the heart of the shepherd. You know, at its broadest level, the shepherd in this story is Jesus himself, the good shepherd. As God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, he reveals to us who God is, and that is a God who takes the initiative to go to great lengths to go and find those who are lost. He alters his routine. He concentrates all his efforts on this task. Now, I realize in our culture, we don't really care for the word lost. We think it's pejorative or derogatory. And if we had an understanding of lostness and what it takes to be found, like the religious leaders, you're probably right. We might not want to use that word. Because for them, if you were lost, you believed in a God that would welcome you back, but you would need to first clean yourself up, find your way back, and then show the appropriate amount of sorrow and penance, and then you would be accepted. But Jesus turns this completely upside down by saying, you know what, if you are lost, it doesn't mean that you have to do your best and try and find God. No, just the opposite. God is coming to find you. It's the God who takes the initiative. And so in God's economy, lost doesn't mean loser. Lost actually means love. And he does more than just a cursory look to seek out those who are lost. It's not just a quick glance. It's an all-out search until he finds us, because that is his priority. But you know, the next thing we need to see is the response of the shepherd when he finds the sheep. You know, we read, just earlier, that he took the sheep and he shook the sheep a little bit. And he said to the sheep, "You're a dumb sheep for wandering off, dumb lost sheep. I hope you've learned your lesson." What? That's not what your translation read? No, a little different? Of course it is. There is no, "I told you so." There is no finger in the face. There is a throwing of the sheep joyfully over the shoulders and then throwing a party. I don't know if you get this about Jesus or not, but if you have this picture of a stodgy, uptight Jesus, it's really not the picture of Jesus that we find in the Bible. Jesus likes to throw a party, and when he finds one of the lost sheep, one of his lost children, it is party time. Every time someone is found and follows Jesus, heaven throws a party. You know, in Matthew's version of the parable, whenever someone who follows Jesus wanders away but is found by the shepherd and comes back, there's a party in heaven. Now, what about those who are already found? The 99, the sheep that are there and the shepherd is left to go chase down that lost one. Does this parable mean that they're less significant than the one that they go to find? Not at all. It's a reminder to all of us just how much the shepherd loves each and every one of us, and what he would do and what he has done for each of us to find us. And if we're in the 99, we have to remember, we weren't always. And when we see Jesus go after one and bring them into the family, it should be a reminder for us of that great passage in Ephesians chapter 3 that says, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Because this is a parable, and the way that the parable is told by Jesus, there are several ways that we can see ourselves in this story. You know, one way we can see ourselves is as the one, the lost one, far from God. We feel unseen, like no one cares. We're isolated and alone. You know, the message for you today is that God cares about you, that Jesus came to give his life to show you just how much he cares. He isn't asking you first to clean yourself up so you'll be good enough for him. No, he is seeking you, calling you, and he has done everything for you to be made right with him. Here's the critical question, though. Do you want to be found? You see, because God's not going to force himself on us, and your freedom allows you the ability to resist and stay lost if you desire. But why would anyone want to stay hidden from someone who loves you so deeply that they have willingly laid down their life so you can live? Don't get me wrong. This isn't an affirmation of who we are in our lost condition. No, we're lost, and when Jesus comes searching for us, wanting to be found means being willing to repent, to turn away from the things that kept us lost, and to turn towards Jesus and to begin following him. But our repentance is not the thing that causes Jesus to search for us. Our repentance is simply a response, our response to a love that we have experienced unlike any love that we've ever seen or experienced or encountered before. But you know, the second way we can see ourselves in this story is not just as the one, but as one of the 99. We've been found, and our primary role is to continue to follow the shepherd. We're not to stay put in one spot, but to follow, to grow as he leads us. You see, the question for the 99 is, are we willing to make room for other ones? It's easy for us to feel left out when new people come in, when others come in. They're new. People get excited about the new. And so we feel less valued. But to feel less valued is to miss really what Jesus is doing and saying here. He isn't saying that you're less loved because the shepherd went out to find somebody else, to find another lost one. No, not at all. In fact, it should be a reminder for all of us of his incredible love. What he was willing to do, what he was willing to endure, so that you and me and the other in the 99 could be his. And in doing so, we should welcome with open arms all those that are found. We don't make them feel less valued because they haven't been here as long as we have, or maybe come in with different habits and hang-ups than what we've had. They are now family, and we treat them as such. And the final way I think we can be seen in this parable is as the shepherd. In fact, the way Jesus shares the story invites us to take on the active role of shepherd, to be the ones to go out and find others. The question for us here is, will we be wholehearted in our search for the other ones? Now, make no mistake, excuses can overwhelm us as to why we can't or shouldn't go out. I mean, actually, right now, we're quarantined. That's a really great excuse, right? No, it's not. Yeah, we may change the way we do this, but it's no excuse for us not to always be looking for that one that's lost. You know, just this week, I was listening to a story about someone from Ashworth who had the opportunity just at their workplace to share with a coworker about Jesus. Those opportunities are around us. Are we looking for them and paying attention? You know, excuses can be we're tired, we're not interested. You know, I've got my little group and I'm satisfied with the way things are. But we need to know that Jesus expects us to love others the way that he loves others. And we can't become so complacent in ourselves or how we do things that we ever become unwilling to go and seek and do whatever we can to reach another one. It's not a half-hearted effort either. It needs to be an all-out search and rescue attempt to help others see, know, and follow Jesus. You see, because God's heart is to restore people, and that must be our heart as well. You see, the story of the lost sheep is a story that reminds us that God has come and we must go. You know, today as we close our time together, we close with communion. This is a moment that was established for us by Jesus, and it reminds us of the question that Jesus asked and answered today, that he came to us, became one of us, died for us, so that we might live. And when we take communion, it should remind us first of the pursuing God's incredible love for us, the good shepherd that went out and found us. But it shouldn't end there. It should also remind us that we don't do this alone. Even today, we're in our individual houses, socially distant from one another, we take these elements together as a reminder that we are part of that flock of the 99. We are a part of something bigger than ourselves. And yes, Jesus died for you, but not only for you. He died for the church. Not a building that has sat mostly empty for the past 8 weeks, but a community of people who have centered their lives around the living Jesus and diligently seek to follow him with everything they've got. But there is a third aspect, as we saw in the story today. Not just that we are the one that Jesus came to find, or we are the 99 still following the shepherd, but we are also the shepherd called by Jesus himself to go out into the world and join with him in looking for other ones so they too can experience the joy of being found and reunited with their Creator. And just as Jesus told his disciples at the Last Supper, he will do this again someday with us. And it will be one incredible celebration when all heaven rejoices over those who know Jesus and we party with him in this new creation. So right now, go ahead and take whatever you have to represent your bread and whatever you have to represent the blood. We read that says in 1 Corinthians, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much this morning for your love, for the fact that you are the good shepherd who has come to seek and to find us, God, that you weren't content to leave us lost, that you took the initiative to come and find us and rescue us and not chastise us, God, but throw us over your shoulders and celebrate that your lost one is now found and a part of your family, a part of your flock. God, help us as those of us who follow Jesus, help us to find contentment, to grow and to follow the shepherd each and every day, even in these strange times. God, help us to be passionately pursuing you with everything we've got. And God, don't let us ever be content to just circle the wagons and only care about ourselves. But God, just like you went out to find us, God, may we go out and find others and help bring them back and joyfully celebrate the lost ones that are found, the ones that come in to the family. God, thank you so much for your love and your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.